we're gonna do tonight like we did last month. I'll have some opening remarks, and then we'll have another song. And the main lesson later will be on Thanksgiving, since as Americans we generally remember the month of November as Thanksgiving Day. First of all, let me say, this is great. I've read it 2 times. What can the righteous do? A lot of thought-provoking ideas. So, in light of recent events in our country, what can we do as God's people? So, pick up your copy tonight, read it, think about it, pray about it, and Lord willing, my wife and I will not be with you next weekend. We'll be farther south in the great state of Georgia. And so right now our plans are we'll leave on Thursday and come back the following Monday. So, as I mentioned, Wednesday night, preachers especially can change their mind. So I had one thought for the Devo, and then dawned on me, hey, this is Veterans Day, so I changed Wednesday. Now remember, I promised I would share some of the thoughts with you tonight. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Zephaniah. And this was part of our recent daily Bible readings. And chapter 2 of Zephaniah, verses 8 and 9, if you'll pardon the expression, almost leaped off the page. Oh, I had read it many times before, but it really grasped my thought. So let me ask a question before I read it. What does God want us as citizens of the United States of America to remember about Sodom and Gomorrah? And maybe for us here tonight, what does God want for His people to remember about Lot and his family? So here's what the prophet Zephaniah had to say. Or I read in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Let me give you a tip. Most of the time, the prophets will tell you when they lived. So in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord, which came to Zephaniah, and I'll not read all of those other names, the last part of the verse, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. So, was Josiah a good or evil king? And one of God's messengers or prophets during that period was Zephaniah. Now, here's what caught my attention. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits, in a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. Again, we need to think about what does the Old and New Testament have to say about Sodom and Gomorrah? And this really caught my eye, what Zephaniah had to say. God is powerful. God is able. The Moabites and the Ammonites, they may mistreat my people, but I have the power to do something about it. So what caught my attention was, surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah. So, what did Moses have to say about Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Genesis? What did the prophets such as Zephaniah have to say about Sodom and Gomorrah? And what was said about Lot and his family? And then we come to the New Testament. Did Jesus say anything about Sodom and Gomorrah? Did he say anything about Lot and his family? And for our Bible bowl, particularly, there was Peter. What did he have to say about Sodom and Gomorrah? And Lot. And then also Jude will have something to say about the cities of the plain. So, I like the spiritual sword. We probably had every issue while it was free. Of course, now you have to pay for it. And incidentally, we got rid of it. But we had from day one up to around 2000. When it was free. So, again, let me encourage you to read this. Now, her oldest grandson gave me a book on Samuel Adams. He was one of the great patriarchs of Massachusetts. Many would refer to him as the apostle of the revolution. There's more than just a beer named after him. I was impressed as I read the book. First of all, he said we need to be thankful. We need to spend time in prayer and fasting. And I found it interesting. He viewed Great Britain as some, like in the Old Testament, that were opposed to God's people. And so Great Britain is mistreating the American colonists. And his thought was, they're not going to change. We need to rebel. We need to go our own way, which we did. But the thought simply, think about it. A lot of our founding fathers really believed in God and religion. And that included Samuel Adams. I wouldn't agree with everything. But you might want to check that out. And a lot of our Ivy League universities were founded by those that believed in God and religion. Or they didn't want a state church or a state religion. But that didn't mean that how often they would say, I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. And God bless the colonists of America. Let's have another song and then we'll think about Thanksgiving.
Number 475.
I'll let the clock in the foyer or the hallway be the authority. I'm trying to share thoughts with our teens that would be relevant. And so, didn't have a class today, but I did have some notes on Thanksgiving. Does God want His people to be grateful? Does He want us to be thankful? So what would a 79-year-old senior citizen share with a lot of 14 and 15-year-olds and seniors in high school? Because they want all of us to be grateful, thankful, appreciative. So here are the passages I thought of. And tonight we'll emphasize Psalm 100. But you remember the 10 lepers in the life of Jesus? And one of the 10 returned to say, "Well, thank you." And he was a Samaritan. And then, if time permits, we'll close our lesson with what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. But let's turn now to the book of Psalms and Psalm 100. I did read the psalm in different English translations. I mentioned I grew up on the King James. When I went to Lipscomb, they were using the American Standard, 1901. For some reason, the New American Standard never gripped me like it did some of our brethren. And so now I'm using the New King James. One writer suggested you need to study Psalm 99, Psalm 100, and then Psalm 101. And in 99, you have the holiness of God. Now, if God is holy, then wouldn't Psalm 100 follow? You praise God. And you notice in our Bible, Psalm 101 is attributed to David. Many feel this was at the beginning of his rule or reign as king. So, what would the message for rulers be? If you believe God is holy and you need to praise God for His holiness. So, we have here a song of praise for the faithfulness of the Lord in blessing His people. That was the thought in the King James and the New King James. And I was really impressed with the thought, King James, a psalm of praise. But in my Bible, the New King James, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. So let me read it. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now remember, they had a tabernacle, later a temple. So, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. And think of all the affirmations in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures for all generations. God is good. God is merciful. God is faithful or truthful. And then we can apply it to Jesus Christ. So that impressed me, putting these three psalms together, 99, 100, and 101. And incidentally, I like to do that. Psalm 22, for example, the past. Psalm 23, the present. Psalm 24, the future, or Jesus the Savior. Psalm 22, Jesus the Shepherd. Psalm 23, and when He returns, He'll be the sovereign, won't He? He'll be the judge. Psalm 24. So, can you picture the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews? Singing about the holiness of God and praising God. And that even included their rulers. Can you picture the Levites in the Old? Saying God is holy. God is to be praised. And that includes our rulers. Wife and I had the privilege of looking at some of the debate last night of the Democratic candidates. My thought is, whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or independent, you need to be doing what God wants. And if Bill Clinton is a Baptist, he needs to be a Baptist. I don't agree that, you know, we have denominations. If Hillary Clinton is a Methodist, she needs to be a Methodist. Again, I'm not saying I agree with that. And then on the other side, whatever the Republican candidates have to say. Donald Trump, for example, said, I'm a Presbyterian. Well, he needs to be a Presbyterian. I would challenge that. What I'm trying to say is, I do not divorce politics and religion. I'm supposed to be a Christian every day, aren't I? And whatever my role or in life is, I'm to be a follower of Jesus. So, let's turn now to the book of Colossians. give you something to think about. The words of the psalmist, Psalm 100. The words of Jesus in Luke 17. And then now the words of the great apostle Paul in Colossians 3. I'm just going to read verses 15, 16, and 17. Tie it into our theme and then extend the Lord's invitation. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now I'm going to assume you've heard the next verse many, many times. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So I'm impressed. Verse 15, there's the peace of God. Verse 16, there's the word of Christ. Verse 17, there is the name of Christ. But in light of our theme, verse 15, be thankful. Oh, I don't have to work this Thursday and Friday. And I'll probably overeat. Is that all there is to it? So verse 15. I view that as a command. Be thankful. Now, I generally go with the more modern translation. So, verse 16. Singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. We really appreciate the favor and blessings of the Lord. We're going to be thankful, grateful, appreciative, and we'll even sing about it. And then verse 17, there it is again, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And we do it in the name of Jesus. We do it by the authority of Jesus. So think about that. That context is permeated with thanksgiving. And Paul wanted the church in Colossae to be thankful, grateful, appreciative. And that's what he wants for us. So you want to give me a tip for being early? That'll be fine. But seriously, if you really believe God is holy, and God should be praised for His holiness, and that includes all walks of life, and that would include politics, or rulers, how would you express it? And tonight, how would you express it? What does God want from me at 79? What does God want for those? My thought is, I've lived my life basically. They still have their life ahead of them. Incidentally, I have had funerals for teenagers, and that's very hard, because teenagers are not supposed to pass on, are they? Or be killed. I believe, regardless of our age or relationships, God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to be grateful. God wants us to really appreciate what He's done for us through His Son, Jesus. And we can read about it in the book. And incidentally, that's one of the songs I want. I prefer for Christ to return, but He might not. So if they have my funeral, I want them to sing Amazing Grace. That'd be one of the songs. So my thought is, if we really are thankful and grateful and appreciative, then if we need to obey the gospel, we'll obey it. We need to come back home, we'll come back home. We need to roll up our sleeves and have that boldness that we need to do God's will. We'll roll up our sleeves and be bold. So, I can't think of a better decision on November the 15th than to obey the gospel, come back home, or really be faithful. So think about it. You need to come tonight while we ask you to stand in relevance.